Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 71% of hiring decision makers are willing to hire contingent workers to meet their business needs. But more than half of those hiring expect to face challenges in finding qualified candidates. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. Express is in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your hiring challenges. Visit expresspros.com for a location near you. Summer is coming and that means vacation. But if you are a parent, you know how fast your kids grow. And that means nothing from last summer will fit. And we need to get the kids new summer clothes. Well, if you're looking for summer clothes for the kids like me, you are in luck. Macy's Friends and Family Sale is coming. And trust me, you don't want to miss it. Get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more. And 15% off beauty, makeup, and more. Plus free shipping when you spend $25. April 25th to May 5th, Macy's.com and in-store.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Okay, this week's Thursday Therapy, we've got Chip Conley on. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He's got his seventh book out now, Learning to Love Midlife, 12 Reasons Why Life Gets Better with Age. It's about rebranding midlife to help people understand the upside of this often misunderstood life stage. Let's get him on. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
You know, I'm good. I'm really happy to talk to you because with your book, Learning to Love Midlife, what are you clarifying the age for midlife?
It's 35 to 75.
Yeah, because I'm in it. So I definitely feel it. I just turned 40 this year. And you know, you said the 12 reasons why life gets better with age. And honestly, I'm like, I could list you at least six of them, why I love them, right? Why I've liked getting older. But the flip side of that, right? The positives of I feel more comfortable in my own skin. I don't take shit anymore. I have better boundaries. I know more things. It's the part about getting old that still, it goes, well, crap, in like 10 years, I'm going to be 50. And then God, 50 is like, you know, and then I'm going to be 60. And then I have that small fear of like dying. And then I'm like my kid. So it's just like, I start to feel a little lumpy in my chest and in my throat. Like, okay. So it's like, I'm embracing 40 and I'm embracing what that is for me. But then also that fear side of the getting older and then my time lessening freaks me out.
Yeah. Midlife is the doorway to later life.
Midlife is the door to later life.
The doorway to later life. So midlife is a bridge. And it's a bridge between early adulthood and later adulthood. And the longer we're living, it becomes a longer bridge. And that's why some sociologists say midlife is 35 to 75 now, which is, you know, a very long bridge. So yes, for some people, for a lot of people, the idea of midlife freaks them out because they're no longer young and they don't want to be old. And so like, how do you sort of like, I want to just stay where I am right now, or I want to be 10 years younger. And what I really wanted to do with the book, given that I've had 6 years now of having over 4,000 people from 47 countries go through our Modern Elder Academy MEA program, in Baja on our beachfront campus, is I wanted to really amplify the fact that we live in an era where anti-aging products, which are often anti-women products, are rampant and everybody wants to stay young. And what I really wanted to do is have a pro-aging message, not just an anti-aging message. I think, yes, I want to stay young too. I want my body to look like it did, you know, I'm 63 when I was 43. But it doesn't. And if I wanted to put more time and energy into it, maybe I could keep it there. But as I say in the book, Learning to Love Midlife, a six pack gets more expensive as you get older. And I don't mean, I'm not talking about beer here. I'm talking about those abs. It takes more time, more energy to keep them. And so perfectly fine if you want to do that. It's just that there's an opportunity cost in terms of how much time that takes. So long story short is there are things that get better with age. And Becca Levy from Yale has shown that when you shift your mindset from the negative to the positive on aging, you gain 7.5 years of additional life. So this is like the number one way to increase your longevity, better than improving sleep, better than diet, better than exercise, better than stopping smoking. And so, you know, MEA and my book are sort of a laboratory for a public service announcement saying, hey, there are some things that get better with age, which we'll talk about today.
So, and I love that. So take me for example, right? So how do I, because I do know that there are things better with age. How do I bridge that gap essentially to get to the other side of it, to not worry about the other half of the fear?
You know, first of all, talking to other people, you know, people your own age, but also people older. So you're 40 or almost 40 and I'm 63.
I just turned 40. Yeah.
Yeah. You just turned 40 and I'm 63. So, and also especially talking to women, in our society, you know, when you get older as a man, you become the silver fox, you become Richard Gere or George Clooney. While things are improving, there's still a challenge for a woman getting older because they're the silver vixen. And no one talks about a silver vixen. And the women have a lot of things that sort of work against them in terms of age, especially if you have been somebody who's been visible and appreciated for your good looks and your, you know, you being svelte and your fashion and all that. Well, you know, Iris Apfel just died at 102. Yeah. And I got to tell you, that woman had fashion all the way to the end. And she was admired for things that you normally in the past thought to say, oh, wow, sexy, fashionable, et cetera, all the way to 102. And so you can still have a style to you and you can still stay in shape. I mean, you know, Jane Fonda was doing aerobics, selling aerobics videos in her 60s. And she's now 85 years old. So I would say that, you know, life has a death sentence attached so sure. far. You know, the tech bros in Silicon Valley are trying to figure out how to solve that and you know, defeat death. But right now we all, you know, we're all going to die someday. Yeah. The question is, what do we do with the life we have? And, mm-hmm. I just am a big believer in the idea that, learning how to become age fluid so that we are not defined exclusively by your chronological age or your generation, but you're all the ages you've ever been. And you sometimes you're a foolish 15-year-old. Sometimes you're a 65-year-old who has some wisdom, and you're everything in between. And becoming age fluid allows you to not constrain yourself based upon your age. And so, you know, that's something I talk about in the book as well.
So what are some tips then, or what are some things that you say, all right, this is embrace this in your midlife?
Yeah.
In your book.
Well, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to say all 12.
Oh, you're going to give us all of them?
I'm going to give you all 12 and then I'm going to focus.
Maybe just on like leave one out. So that way that, you know, the readers can have the listeners can have a little,
okay.
You know, you're missing the 12th one.
Okay. So then what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually give you, there's five categories. I'll do one per category. So the five categories are your physical life, your emotional life, your mental life, your vocational life, and your spiritual life. On the physical life, what gets better with age? So I'm going to say, I'm relieved my body no longer defines me. Now, this is a hard one for a lot of people because like, oh my God, my body does define me. Mm-hmm. But think of your body like a rental vehicle that you were issued at birth. And your job in life is to maintain this rental vehicle. But the longer you've been on the road with the rental vehicle, the more dings you have in the exterior, the more paint chipping you have.
The more tattoos you wish you didn't have, stuff like that.
That too, yes, yeah. Yeah, that bumper sticker, you can't take off that back bumper. What's more important as you get older and as you have a car longer is not like what does it look like on the outside, is what does it feel like on the inside? And so one of the key things, you know, just as we got comfortable in our own skin, it starts to sag. Learn how to have a sense of humor about that. Learn also how to maintain the body. I mean, one of the things I've learned in midlife is that when I was younger, I would maintain my body. I'd go to the gym, I'd swim, I was a good athlete. And I did it more for short-term vanity than for long-term maintenance. And I think as we get older, we realize that the long-term maintenance piece of this is really important. Mm-hmm. And the short-term vanity, you know, listen, if you want to be the hot thing at poolside at age 75, do it. But as I said before, that six pack is more expensive as you get older. So the thing that's nice, and for a lot of women, they feel this, is like to see that your body doesn't have to define you. Mm-hmm. And that it's just one quality about you. You realize that there are many playing fields in life. There's the playing field of the body. There's the playing field of your heart. And there's the relational playing field and the soul and spiritual playing field. So when you realize like, okay, I'm getting older, you know, playing on the playing field of the body exclusively, since that's the only way I see myself in the world and my only way I have self-esteem, is sort of silly. So that's one of the 12 reasons. Let's go to the emotional life. I'm making friends with my emotions. It's one of the three in this category. Emotional intelligence grows with age.
Yeah.
And this is irrefutable. Now, you may have an uncle who's 75 and a pain in the ass and doesn't have any EQ and no emotional intelligence. That's true. But on average, IQ doesn't grow with age, but EQ does. Mm. And so learning how to have, you know, a friendship relationship. I think of my emotions as my best friends. And so when I have a best friend that's sort of pissed off, like an angry best friend, you know, it's like, what's going on with that best friend? You know, how do I learn how to be less reactive with my anger and just sort of like tap into like, okay, anger, you've got a voice. You know, what's the right Pixar movie, Inside Out?
Yeah, it's a good one.
About all those emotions. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's sort of true. All these emotions exist in us. And I wrote a book called Emotional Equations that was sort of based upon that movie in my own life. So learning how to become less emotionally reactive is a beautiful thing, because not only are you more fun to be around with other people, but you're less reactive with yourself.
Right.
So that's something that gets better with age.
And you know how to, you can control it better too. Like stuff still comes out but I don't give it as much power anymore that I used to give in my 20s and 30s.
There's a guy named Viktor Frankl who wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning about his experience living as a psychotherapist in a concentration camp in World War II. I mean, terrible, terrible, you know, experience. And he came out of it and wrote a book, Man's Search for Meaning. And if you, three sentences in the book that I think define life. He said, between stimulus and response, there is a space.
Mm.
In that space is your power to choose your response. And in your response lies your growth and your freedom. So in essence, what he's saying is like, no matter what circumstances you're going through, you have the ability to determine how you want to respond or react. And how you choose to respond is what gives you growth and freedom. So I think that I love that quote, because I think that's a quote that speaks to emotional maturity. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that we get better at as we get older.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. Thirdly, we're talking about the mental life. I like all 12 of these. It's hard for me to pick one in each category. But let's talk about wisdom. I'm marveling at my wisdom. Now, I know people who are 75 years old who are not wise, and 30-year-olds who are. So wisdom is not necessarily always correlated with age. But the best way for me to describe how you become wise is you realize that your painful life lessons are the raw material for your future wisdom.
Mm.
Let me say that again. Your painful life lessons are the raw material for your future wisdom. So the more lessons you've had, and the longer you've been on the planet, the more lessons you've had probably,
mm-hmm.
the more raw material you have. It's like you're a chef and you're in the kitchen and you got all these ingredients. As you get older, you get better at chefing these experiences of your life and knowing how to turn them into, you know, a beautiful buffet. And so as you get older, if you learn how to metabolize your experiences, make sense of them, and then in the future, those that will help you. So let me talk about an exercise or a wisdom practice I've been doing now for 35 years, since age 28. At age 28, I had been running a boutique hotel company for a couple of years that I ran for 24 years, became the second largest in the US, based in San Francisco, called Joie de Vivre. And we had 52 hotels around California. So long story short is I, at age 28, 2 years after starting the company, I was clueless. of course I was. I was 28 years old running a, you know, boutique hotel company. Sure. At that point with just one hotel. So one day I went home at the end of a week. It was a Friday afternoon. And I was like, oh my God, I'm getting just bullied by my job as the CEO. And so I just took a journal off the wall, off the bookshelf, and I wrote on the cover of my wisdom book. And I started a practice where every weekend I would make a list of what I'd learned that week, personally or professionally. And then I went ahead and would just say, okay, I learned this, and here's how it's going to serve me in the future. So in essence, what I was doing is I was turning my painful life lessons into that raw material, metabolizing the experience so that it would serve me in the future as my future wisdom. So the process of becoming wise is not something, it's something you earn. It's something you learn over time.
Right.
And so wisdom is something that gets better with age.
So it's almost like, because that's kind of how I feel right now in this moment. I'm like, all right, I love 40 because I've learned so much, and I would take this wisdom now over what I had when I was 20s and 30s. Right. So I'm excited to know even more in 10 years and 20 years. So yeah. I think that is the piece where I look forward to. They always say moms are really hard to shop for, but the truth is moms will love everything, especially if it's coming from Macy's. Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. You can shop by price, $25 and under to $100 and under, or category like fragrance, handbags, and more. So if you don't know what to get them, Macy's got you covered. Or they have gift lists if you are really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, for the plant lover or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana perfume, Coach floral printed leather, Cassie crossbody bag. Whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop Macy's.com/giftfinder. Did you know that 95% of pregnant women are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s? That's where Ritual comes in. Their prenatal contains 350 milligrams of eco-friendly vegan omega-3 DHA in every serving, sourced from algal oil instead of fish. I loved Ritual. I took it when I was pregnant with Roman. I also now take their multivitamin. It's just an amazing everyday thing that I know is good for the body. A prenatal multivitamin made traceable with vegan, bioavailable, and clinically studied key nutrients for before and during pregnancy. Like omega-3 DHA to support baby's brain development, and choline and methylated folate to support baby's neural tube development. Their vitamins are rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Ritual works with world-class certification bodies to validate their products. Why settle for a multivitamin you're not 100% sure about? Ritual was literally built on trust, so you know it's the real deal. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/wine. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/wine for 25% off. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back. Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots.
One of the questions I like to ask people sometimes, if they feel like, oh, they're in their midlife, they're 50 years old, and they feel like I'm stupid now or something like that. It's like, do you make better decisions today at age 50 than you did at age 25? And almost always they say yes. And I said, guess what? You make better decisions because you've built some wisdom along the way. And yes, you made some mistakes. And yes, at age 50, you're disappointed. One of the reasons that people in their late 40s often hit the bottom point of the U-curve of happiness, the bottom point of life satisfaction, is because often it's around mid-40s that people's like, I had all these expectations and they're not coming true. Mm-hmm. I had these hopes and dreams and you know, whether it's in our career or in our romantic life or financially, et cetera. And it just hasn't happened. My body. And so, you know, Brené Brown, who's a friend of mine, said, Chip, you know, you understand there's a midlife unraveling that goes on. And I said, Brené, midlife unraveling? What are you talking about? That sounds terrible. Unraveling sounds like something that happens when someone loses their mind. And she says, no, look at the word ravel in the dictionary. And she said, to something that's raveled or is a ravel is so tightly wound, you can't get it undone. So think of like a yarn. Yeah. Exactly. So to unravel, the midlife unraveling is learning how to unravel all your expectations and all of your obligations. And part of the way you do this is you edit what we at MEA, at the Modern Elder Academy, call the great midlife edit. We help people learn how to edit their lives. Mm-hmm. And that is beautiful because what it does, the first half of our life is about accumulating and the second half of our life is about editing. And if we're really discerning and good at it, we get rid of the stuff that's not serving us and we instead focus on what is serving us, including mindsets.
That makes sense.
Fourth category, which I'll pick, is the vocational life or the professional life. I'm joyously stepping off the treadmill. So in midlife, we come face to face with the fact that our parents or our community or our family broadly may have defined success for us. And we got on that damn treadmill in our 20s and we started running, or maybe in our teens, and we started running based upon this sort of definition of successism. Successism being, hey, you know, what defines success in society? And then around midlife, sometimes we say like, you know what? That doesn't matter to me. That's like my parents' definition of success, mm-hmm. not mine. Mm-hmm. And so there is the opportunity for people in midlife to take stock and to look at their life and say, like, I don't want to be a litigator anymore. I want to be a pastry chef. We had a 60-year-old woman come to the MEA in our Baja campus. We have a campus in Mexico on the beach in Baja, and then also in Santa Fe, New Mexico, on a regenerative horse ranch, 2,600 acres. Beautiful. So long story short is she came to Baja and she said, I hate being a litigation attorney. I feel like I have armor on all the time. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm in midlife and I feel like I don't know what to do next. So one of the exercises we did with her cohort was the question about purpose. How do you find your purpose when you feel like you're not on the right path? And usually your purpose comes from one of four paths: something that excites you, something that agitates you, something that you're curious about, or something from earlier in your life that you really loved and had a passion for, but you feel like you've sort of neglected it or it just didn't have time for it anymore. In her case, she had a dream one night while she was at MEA, at the Modern Elder Academy. And she had a dream that came up around the idea that she loved cooking pies with her grandmother and being in her grandmother's kitchen. And she also then realized when she got conscious in the morning, whenever she goes to a new place, like on vacation, she always looks in her digital map for bakeries. And she walks into bakeries, she smells it, and then she just looks at what they've got, especially if it's in a different part of the world from where she's normally living. And so by the end of the week, she realized she was going to get off the litigator treadmill. And instead, she was going to become a pastry chef. And she's now going to go out and create a bakery in her neighborhood. So learning how to get off the treadmill and learning how to do the thing that you really want to do, this is the time in midlife where you come face to face with that.
And it's almost like just letting go then too of the expectations that not only parents, but also that you put on yourself too, like what you expected would happen. Okay, well, it didn't. Now let's reroute in a way and not get in a funk about it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And the good news is if you found something in your 20s, 30s or 40s that you just love doing and you took a different path than what was expected of you, good for you. And you may want to still stay on that treadmill. But there's something about the treadmill that I want to talk about for a second. A treadmill is something, you know, you can speed it up, you can slow it down, but you know, but you're not moving anywhere. You're actually getting a workout, which is great, but the landscape's not changing. So sometimes even if you're doing the thing you love doing, you got to get off that damn treadmill and you got to be able to see other things because the landscape doesn't change other than that little screen on the treadmill that sort of shows you that you're running in the desert. Now you're running there on the beach and like, but that's just a screen. That's not life. And so getting off the treadmill is also important. And then the last category of, you know, these of 12, there's five categories is the spiritual life. And you know, I've just, the one I'm going to use is I've discovered my soul. And there are people who are lucky enough in their, you know, teen years or their 20s or 30s or 40s to really feel like I've got a connection to my soul. Something I understand like who I am and why I'm here on earth. Or maybe even if you believe in past lives that I understand my past lives that have led me to being here in this life. But a lot of us don't have that experience. A lot of us actually... the primary operating system that has really defined us for the first half of our life has been our ego for all kinds of good reasons. Ego is the thing that individuates us. It's the one thing that defines us and helps us to be who we are. It's the thing that propels us forward. But often in midlife, it's like our ego has gotten the best of us. It's like the ego's taken over. And so there's a guy named Richard Rohr. He's a Christian mystic who has written lots of books, and he's an MEA alum and teacher. And what he said is like the first half of your life, your primary operating system that sort of defines you is your ego. And it's around midlife, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, that something starts to stir inside of you. And it may have been dormant. And it's something that speaks to like your interest in meaning and the meaning of life and something bigger than yourself. And maybe it's something religious or spiritual that has a curiosity there. And what he says is that you move from the primary operating system being the ego to the primary operating system being the soul. But nobody gave you any operating instructions for this new thing that's defining your life, the soul. And so you sort of have to make sense of it. And I see, and sometimes it's external circumstances of people, you know, the divorce that happens that comes out of left field, getting, you know, fired from your job, having a health diagnosis, having your parents pass away, struggling with being an empty nester, which you will be someday, Jana. You will be that.
I just had a baby, so I'm an old mama now. So it's going to be a while.
Till
that, but I hope and pray, obviously. But So I mean, where do you find yourself struggling the most in your midlife?
So that's a great question.
Because obviously, I mean, you're very successful.
Yeah.
You've got a bunch of successful books. You've lived a successful life. You know, you're on here now talking about your new book. And it's like, I have to think that, you know, again, we're all human. We all have, there's that one thing that's like, that's our tough point. So it's like, what do you think yours is?
I think I have multiple, but I'll tell you one that's pretty, that's really clear to me. And that is, I can see the narrative of my life. As you get older, you're much better able to see the narrative of your life, the pattern recognition of like, oh, I'm doing that again. Or like, and one of my patterns is to be the hero. That's the archetype that defines me. And there's lots of archetypes out there. There's like the hero, there's the caregiver, there's the explorer, there's the court jester. But I have a tendency to fall into wanting to be the hero, and it gives me self-esteem. And so one of the challenges I have in midlife is whether it's in my family life or it's in my friends, or it's in my career. I want to be the hero and I want to come in and save the day. And you could say like, well, that sounds great. You know, if you're good at this, like keep doing it. But the problem, there's problems with that. Number one is if this is the archetype that defines you and you get self-esteem from it, you will find situations where there's no hero needed. Like things are getting solved. Let the people who are in it, they're like solving it. They're being heroes. Why do you have to be the hero? Why do you have to be the ego-fed person who's like, oh, Chip saved the day?
Right.
So there's that. Secondly, it's tiring being a hero. And so for me, one of my challenges in midlife is how do I put some boundaries up? And I've gotten better at this, but I have a long way to go, such that, you know I can see there's an opportunity for me to be a hero there, but how do I help become a hero coach for other people to become a hero? So I don't have to always be the hero. Yeah. So I'm working on that. And in fact, you know, MEA, the program is really helping that. It helps me teach people how to not be just be heroes, but how to help, you know, solve their life problems and navigate sure. their transitions.
I so get that, because I also think people need to learn their mistakes too without the rescuing. Like there's a lot of people come to me now to be like, okay, you know, what do I do now? This, you know, my husband cheated on me and you know, something comes up. And so there was one instance where I was helping someone close to me that, you know, their husband cheated on them. Because I obviously I love helping. I want to help. Like that's, but then it becomes this thing where when they go back or we see them, I'm like, now it's like, it's now affecting, I'm like, you know, probably what's going to happen again, because you've been in that situation where the person will most likely cheat again, but I don't want to say that. So it's just, I'm like, I'm like, all right, people have to learn their lessons there. I learned my lessons when people told me kind of not what to do, but when I tried to be the hero and to help and to whatever. So now I'm like, I've kind of stepped back and be like, here's my advice. And, you know, but I can't put the cape on, try to rescue this situation or try, like, I'm like, it's because then it becomes too heavy and on my side too, because it brings up old things as well. So,
yeah, you got to teach someone to fish. You can't just bring them to the fish.
Right. One of my goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. So it's so important, obviously, for just the overall world, but just, you know, you feel better about sustainability. Well, I love being able to shop sustainably at Macy's. I really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's, Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in-store and learn more at macys.com/purpose. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow. I'm never going back. Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require.
What do you love about the show? Like, and how has it for you made you wiser about yourself and about
other people?
Yeah.
Well, I love growing, right? So something that you said too is the mistakes, right? Like I don't regret anything in my life. There's things that I've gone through that I, to this day, am so grateful for. They were very hard memories, but how I deal with them now, or if something comes up, or if I get re-triggered for something or something from childhood, like the way that I respond now is so different. And I owe that to a lot of the people that I've, you know, obviously worked with privately in therapy sessions, but also every day, like I'm challenged to be a better version of myself. And so when I walked in today, you know, to have this interview with you, I'm like, all right, where can I kind of look in the mirror and go, all right, this is where I'm struggling with my midlife, right? So I'm afraid of, you know, dying, or I'm afraid of, you know, getting older, and here's why. And so it's an opportunity for me to keep growing and to keep learning, and to, because now I walk out of this going, well, I feel more positive. I feel lighter about it. I feel more excited to tackle things and not put expectations on what I thought would be where I'm at now. And so it's just like, for me, like I love this show because I get to talk to people like you, and I get to continue to grow and learn and embed, you know, all the other knowledge that you've received from other people like Brené and all your other, you know, close friends.
You know, let's do a little exercise here that any of us can do, but I'm going to do it with you. You're 40 years old now. Mm-hmm. How long do you think you're going to live? Like, if you had to guess, I mean, based upon, you know, longevity trends, based upon your family, based upon your own personal health habits.
So this, Chip, I've had this thing where I always said I was going to die young, and I don't know why. And I honestly didn't think I'd make it to 40. I don't know what, I think it was like I don't know why I always had that. So now I go, the first number that popped to my mind.
Did you have a sense of urgency? Like, okay, like if you're going to die young, you better do it all now.
Maybe, I don't know. But now I'm like, I made it past the number that I thought I was going to not make it past. Yeah. So now the first number that popped in my mind was 80. That's just where.
Which would be young. You would, if you passed away at 80, that would be younger than what's average for a Caucasian woman in the United States.
I mean, my grandma's 95. She's turning 95.
Okay.
And she's like healthy as a, but she also came on like the, you know, she back in the day, they weren't eating processed, you know, and had stuff sprayed all over their foods.
That's true. But they also weren't as aware of things that were healthy. You know,
okay,
they probably drank more. They probably
smoked more.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So here's the math. I'm going to say you're going to live till 90. Let's say that as just a thought. Okay. Or we could even do 80, but I'm going to do 90 because if you've got a grandma who's 95, that's actually a good.
I've got a grandma that's 95, and I got another grandma that's turning 90.
Okay. There we go. So 90. So what percentage of your adult life, starting counting at age 18, do you think you have ahead of you if you live till 90? I'm going to do the math.
Wait, say that again. I'm confused. Say that one more time.
So what?
Gotta talk real slow with math with me here.
Okay. All right, that's fine. What percentage of your adult life do you still have ahead of you?
Oh, well.
I mean, because from you're 40.
40.
Adulthood started at 18. So you have 22 years behind you. And so if you live till 90, you have 50 years ahead of you. Uh-huh. I mean, I'll do the math for you.
Thank you.
70% of your adult life is still ahead of you.
Oh.
So for the person who's thinking like, okay, I hit 40, like I'm in decline, I'm dying, I'm like, oh my God, there's not much time left, I'm going out to pasture. No, not really. The average age of the person who comes to MEA is 54. And the average age they think they're going to live till is 90. And 54 is exactly halfway between 18 and 90. And when you tell a 54-year-old, you still have as much adulthood ahead of you as you do from now until age 18, they're like, really? So we don't have very good longevity literacy.
Yeah, no, that just totally changed everything for me, my brain. Thank you, Chip. Yeah. You just gave me years of my life back.
Well, and here's, and then let me give you another thing, because this is in the book, but it's also something we do at our workshops. What is it that you know now or have done now that you wish you'd known or done 10 years ago, Jana? What is it you know now or have done now that you wish you'd learned or done 10 years ago?
Okay, so that one's a hard one for me, because if I would have done it, I wouldn't have had my two beautiful kids.
Okay. You had twins?
No, I had, an 8 and a 5-year-old with my ex-husband, and I've got one with my new fiance. So,
got it.
Looking back, obviously, I would have not have gone through 7 years of just a really hard, abusive relationship with, affairs and all of it. So having said that, I have two beautiful children, right? So if I would have been stronger and had known my worth more, I would have gotten out of that a lot sooner. I wouldn't have continued the relationship. But how could I say that when I have two beautiful kids?
Yeah. No, but you might have left after the first kid. Who knows? I mean, now I'm going to ask you to do the following. This is the more important part of the question. 10 years from now, when you're 50, what will you regret if you don't learn it or do it now?
That's a good question. What would I regret if I don't learn it or do it now?
While you're thinking about it, let me tell you my story. If that's okay. So when I was 57, I'm 56 actually, but 57 mostly, I moved from San Francisco to Baja, to Mexico, and to live on a beach. And I was writing a book about my experience of helping to run Airbnb with the founders. And they called me the modern elder. That's why it's called the Modern Elder Academy. They said, Chip, you're twice the age of the average person here. And we love you because you're a modern elder who's as curious as they are wise. It's like, okay. So I went down to Baja to live on the beach. And I was 57 when I started thinking about this. And I said, like, wow, 10 years from now, what will I regret if I don't learn it or do it now? And in Baja, I was like, okay, well, I'd regret if I didn't learn Spanish. But I had a mindset that was like, I'm too old to learn a foreign language.
Mm.
But the fact that I imagined the regret 10 years from now and thinking like, oh, at 67, it'll be harder than at 57, that anticipated regret is a form of wisdom. And it like catalyzed me. It gave me the incentive to like, I'm going to learn this now. Similarly, I started learning how to surf at age 57. And I started learning how to surf because at 67, it was going to be harder to learn to surf than at 57. So I learned to surf because right near, there's a surf break just down the beach from me. So as we know longevity literacy, and we know we're going to live longer, the thing that we have to get clear on is that we need to become a beginner over and over again. We need to be open to learning something new. We need to be, not focused. The problem for some people as they go into midlife is they only want to play the games that they can win or that they do well, and their sandbox gets smaller and smaller. And so instead, what we really need to do is be open to like say, I'm going to be a beginner again. I'm going to try something new again and have fun with it. Because if we're going to live a long life, it's really important that we don't just start to calcify and just like our life gets smaller and smaller. So having said all of that, do you have any thoughts about what you would?
I mean, now it just opened up because at first I had one that was a little bit more open where it was just like, I need to give myself more time because I give time to my kids, to my fiance. It's like, I don't do the things I really want to do because at the end of the night, I'm exhausted. The time has run out, right? So the only time that I really give myself is 45 minutes to at least work out. Like that's my thing. That's my time that I've put into a schedule. But to think about it more, me and my fiance have been talking about learning Spanish. I love Spanish. But for me, I'm like thinking about myself, like what would I want to do? I've always wanted to learn how to play the piano, always. And it's just something that I'm like, well, I don't have time or, I'm 40 years old. But think about when I'm 50, if I started now, how good I could be.
Right.
Playing then. So that's kind of cool.
That is cool. And there's certain things where like, it's going to get harder to do it.
Sure. I mean,
learning a language, surfing, piano may be harder over time, maybe not be. But you know, for me, the one that I have today, I'm 63 and I have two sons who are 12 and 9, Eli and Ethan. And I had them, I'm a gay man, and I had them with a lesbian couple who are friends. And they asked me, originally it was gonna be like, okay, I'm gonna be the sperm donor and okay, that's my thing. But because they had two boys, they're like, oh no, we really want you to be in their lives. And so, you know, the thing I would regret at 73, if I didn't do it at 63, is to invest more time into my son's lives. And it's really easy for me to not do that because I have a full life and I've got all this stuff going on. But man, 12 and nine, you know,
informative years too.
These are the years. Yeah. And I don't live in the same city as them. So the fact that I don't live in the same city means I have to make an effort. And it means that we have to do vacations together and et cetera, et cetera. And it's lovely. I was just with them, you know, for the weekend. And it was so great. And so if there's a point on all this, is midlife or starting to get toward midlife is when you start to value your time more. Mm-hmm. And you start to realize, yes, the thing that you're fearful about, Jenna, about, okay, out there in the future, I'm going to die someday, or I'm going to get old and I'm going to get decrepit, and or I'm not going to look good. I'm going to be invisible. For women, the biggest fear is invisibility. For men, it's irrelevance. You know, that is an opportunity to actually say, okay, what can I do? You know, time is precious. What are the things I can do? And right. So long story short is, I mean, I just love this because it helps people at a time in their life where they might have normally put on blinders and been bored to actually say, no, I am going to fully do something new.
I love it. Well, Chip, thank you so much. You've been so enlightening. So I so appreciate it. And everyone, please go grab his book, Learning to Love Midlife, 12 Reasons Why Life Gets Better with Age. Chip, thank you so much.
Great to be with you. Thank
you. You're a sweetheart. Appreciate you.
You are too.
Bye-bye. Discover the rich, smooth taste of matcha love made with Japanese green tea and real matcha. There are so many culinary treats to create with this precious powder that go beyond the traditional tea ceremony. Everything from lattes to baked goods to smoothies, experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf. Matcha is vibrant in taste and full of powerful health benefits. Get 25% off all matcha love products on Etoan.com using code JANA. That's code JANA. At Itoen.com, available on Amazon and Itoen.com. You know, I don't even know where to start with this because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend, and Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, TECOVAS.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good. What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.